Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome into another exciting edition of the Geek Cave, brought to you by ShirtoStores.com. I'm Darren.
I'm Big Papa.
I'm Chad.
In case you missed last month's episode, we should perhaps explain the Big Papa thing.
I tripped, I fell, I made baby.
And yes, it was all you.
And there's your second.
No help.
I thought the stork came.
He went out to the cabbage patch.
He just picked one.
Since comics is my section, do you want to take him aside and tell him how babies get here? And
not right now.
Okay, later. Later. We'll explain it later.
You'll tell me how Babby is formed?
Yes.
Okay.
The cave has an echo and I didn't bring any.
All right, anyway.
I don't want to wake the bats.
You put what where? We've got a great show on hand for you. We're going to be talking to 01 Publishing's Kat and Josh. We're also going to be covering a little bit of movies, a little bit of comics, a little bit of games, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
The gamut. So, Justin, take it away.
Thank you. Right now, the biggest thing going on in comics is Marvel's announcement that they're not rebooting their franchises.
They're not?
Apparently not, although it looks like they are.
No, it's a relaunch.
Yeah, it's a relaunch. They're different. One is a boot, one is a launch.
But doesn't a relaunch indicate that they're going back to the beginning and giving us the same stuff they gave before?
According to Marvel's press release, it's a catch-all. It's not a reboot.
Now, what are they calling this new great idea?
Marvel Now!
When?
Now!
Why?
No. Now!
Oh. Yeah,
who? It, Marvel.
When will now be then?
Now! So, yeah. On less than a year after DC relaunched...
Rebooted
with their new 52.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. One is a boot, one is a launch.
Get it right.
Yeah. Marvel is doing something similar, but completely different...
Well, obviously, it's different. Wolverine's involved.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So. And he's the best at what he does, and what he does is...
Being a Marvel character.
Yeah. They're restructuring their
making
franchise.
Making Polish sausage, actually.
That's what those claws are
it's
for.
An unknown skill. Hasn't been touched on in the movies yet, but I digress.
Well, we are getting a second Wolverine movie.
Damn right we are.
Yep.
Wolverine 2, Adamantium Boogaloo.
What were we talking about?
Now!
That's right. So Marvel is going to restructure all of their titles. They're going to relaunch 22 of their, I believe 22.
Yeah, something like that.
Of their titles, including the Uncanny Avengers.
So this is the Marvel Now? So this is the Marvel Now 22?
Yes.
Huh. That sounds a little bit familiar. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway. We don't really know much more about it except that it's a catch-all. It's not a reboot. It's just kind of a here.
Havoc is in the Uncanny Avengers.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah.
He's important.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Jean Grey's coming back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They're transporting her from time since past.
Yeah. So it's like teenager Jean Grey from the 60s. In today's
and
world.
Now,
if you will. And from what I understand, she's not happy with what she sees. Well, it's not just her. It's the whole original X-Men team.
Oh, yeah. It's the entire original X-Men team from the 60s.
Transported to Marvel Now.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Now.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. That is the only thing that strikes my fancy. I'm curious to see how they pull this off.
For a split second, I thought you were going to say it's the only thing that strikes fear into my heart.
I want to know where his fancy is now. It strikes his fancy. Is that like a soft rap on the...
It's next to my cutie mark.
Okay.
And speaking of cutie marks and bronies...
We know you're out there.
Yeah, we do. Don't know if you're listening, but we know you're out there, and we applaud you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with bronies.
No, I don't either.
As long as you don't wear the spandex pony costume. That's a little weird.
We're getting off topic. No.
No. Muffins.
My Little Pony Friendship is Magic is getting its own comic book in November by IDW Publishing. So... As if the show wasn't awesome enough, now you have it in paper form.
You know, I'm surprised it wasn't Boom.
You would think.
Because they would jump all over that.
I guess.
Or is it Kaboom now?
I think it's Kaboom.
Kaboom. Okay.
Kaboom.
Chad's just...
Shrug.
Chad's just like, what's going on? All this is coming out of San Diego Comic Con, except for the Marvel Now thing.
Yeah. By the way, San Diego Comic Con is going on now!
We couldn't make it out there because...
We're poor.
And this podcast is free. So...
And we're poor.
If you want us to go to San Diego Comic Con next year, everyone send us, like, $5. Now!
How many listeners do we have?
Not enough for $5 to get any one of us there.
Considering our latest iTunes statistics, we've got a fair amount.
Okay.
Much more than we did before we started the advertising campaign on Facebook. So
that's true.
And they did a lot better than Twitter did, but I digress for now.
Yeah, we'll let you rant about that later.
Now.
No, later.
Yeah, later.
Soft and then, you know, is that like the candy? So anyone ever had now
maybe.
Or later? Yeah, okay. Maybe. Anyway.
Anyway, speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, one of the biggest pieces of news to come out of it, in my opinion, and I'm excited for this, Neil Gaiman has announced that in 2013, he is going to be releasing a prequel to his Sandman series. It will lead up to the events of the first issue. It's not like where Morpheus and everybody else came from. It's apparently he was involved in some sort of battle that... stretched him to his limits in some faraway galaxy, and then as he was making his way home from that, he was captured, and that's where the first issue of Sandman picks up. So we're going to get to see what he was doing before that. That's a story Mr. Gaiman was upset that he didn't get to tell when he originally launched the series, and now for the 25th anniversary next year, it's going to be done. So I am highly anticipating this. And I don't know if I mentioned it last time, I may have, but it bears repeating. Speaking of Sandman, the 10 book slipcase edition of all the series is available, I think, in November from Amazon for like $150. So if you got the scratch, buy it.
Yeah, that's a good series.
Any other comic book news?
Well, my favorite news at a Comic-Con is the Firefly reunion panel.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's... That was something that was a pretty popular story on our website, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com, and they have a one-hour special coming in November.
Yeah, to the Science Channel.
So, the Science Channel, everyone remembers, you know, what the Science Channel is for one day at least.
Ouch. Hopefully it'll end up on Netflix.
No.
For how it's made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best show to come out of the Science Channel.
All right. I will definitely agree with that. You got anything else, Chad?
23 hours of How It's Made and 1 hour special of Firefly.
We call it the How It's Firefly Marathon. All right. Well, that's it for our comic discussion. We'd now like to welcome in via the Geek Cave Satellite O Love connection. It's Kat and Josh from 01 Publishing.
The Geek Cave.
And welcoming into the cave, Kat and Josh from 01 Publishing. And guys, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you guys join in. And 01 Publishing, we've been looking into Utopiates and Titanium Reign, two of you guys' big projects. And I guess for those of us, for our audience who maybe not be as acquainted with 01, tell us a little bit about 01 Publishing, how you guys got started, that kind of thing.
Okay. I guess without getting too much into a rant of the state of the industry, I will try and keep it brief.
Okay.
And to keep that brief, what I will tell your listeners out there is everything you know about the publishing industry and comics is currently wrong.
Okay.
We have gone through a massive change in just the last 5 years. We've been in the industry for what?
Seven.
Just about seven. We're going on 7 years. And the face of the industry from where it was when we got started to where it is now is so vastly different that it was just adapting to the times. And the big news here that a lot of people may not be aware of, unless you want to write Wolverine or Batman, you don't need a publisher. And in fact, you shouldn't have one. When we got into the industry, you needed a publisher. You absolutely needed to get in that way, because if you had that self-published image, it was always a strike against you. Mm-hmm. In that 7 years' time, we've seen an overall collapse of the local comic book store. Now distribution is primarily online. Second, most of the deals where is in the beginning of the first decade of the millennium, the indie world was awesome. I mean, there were great deals. There was a lot of respect for the creators. It was a great time to be creating under an imprint. Nowadays, it really doesn't behoove you. Basically, you lose all your rights and you have no control of your own destiny. The playing field has changed. And so we said, we've been at this long enough. We know it. We will do it ourselves, and we'll do it as an umbrella and help out some of our friends who don't have the time to do all the legwork of, getting your stuff on Amazon, getting the agent, getting the stuff shopped around, that kind of thing.
Right, right. And, looking over your website, it's not, just so our listeners know, it's not just you guys. You've got Mike Colbert, Patrick McAvoy, and J.K. Woodward, right?
J.K. Woodward doesn't need our help.
Oh, okay.
he's doing fine. they're all working with us. Same sort of thing. Essentially what we're doing for them is we're just putting them under the 01 umbrella to, again, do some of the legwork that their 95 doesn't allow them. And that's really about it.
Okay.
At this day and age, really, if you're looking to do comics, do it yourself. Seriously.
Gotcha. Now, what's going on for you guys right now? I understand that Titanium Rain now has an audio adaptation as well as the graphic novel on Amazon, and I understand that's going pretty well.
Oh, that's going excellent.
It's going very well. And the audio comics company who actually approached us and wanted to work with us on not only Titanium Rain, but on Utopiates and hopefully future projects as well, they did an amazing job. It's an all-star cast. You've got people from Star Wars, Clone Wars, Lupin the Third.
Judge Dredd.
Nice.
These are all A-list actors and...
Well, A-list for the audios.
Yeah, A-list for the audio
scene. Voice acting.
And I knew they were going to do a good job, but it wasn't until I was there and I was watching the performers and watching how they worked and listening to all of it come together that I knew, wow, yeah, this is going to be amazing. And it truly is.
Now, I got a chance to listen to Titanium Rain. I did love it. For those who are kind of unfamiliar with Titanium Rain, can you just give our listeners a little bit of a description of it? Plus, why did you decide to do an audio version of this as well as a graphic novel?
Well, we'll do the explanation first of what the book is. We'll let Kat do the convention pitch.
Well, the story is that in the year 2032, a civil war in China has turned into a global conflict, basically World War III, of which the Allies are losing and are outnumbered 5-1. Mm-hmm. And one of the techniques that they have adopted to try to fill the ranks is to cybernetically and genetically enhance fighter pilots who would normally flunk out of fighter pilot training in order to get guys in the cockpit. And you're following the American squadron of, quote, hacks, as they're called.
So, that's the basic overview. And then, the deeper levels of the story, there's themes of, war and technology and, religion to some degree, just how that all kind of mingles together and how that relates to us as a species and where we're going. So there's a There's a surface action story, and then you've got your deeper levels going on.
Josh was heavily influenced by Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, very much so. We've also been told that it's got kind of a Battlestar Galactica vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
But as far as doing both a comic and an audio, it started as just a comic series. And I'd always loved audio dramas. Actually, before getting into comics, I remember trying to get some scripts over to Big Finish Productions for their Doctor Who audios. And so it had always been something I wanted to do. And was it last year at the con? Was it that? Last year at San Diego Comic-Con, almost a year ago now, the people from Audio Comics Company approached me. They wanted to do Utopiates, but there had been some rights issues at the time. So I gave them a copy of Titanium Rain, which we, you know, we owned just about everything in it. Fortunately, again, we got our contract back in the day when you still could keep all your rights.
Right.
So, you know, aside from Archaea doing publishing of the book, we can do anything we want. If I wanted to do a series of novels, you name it, I can do it. And so when the opportunity presented itself to have it turned into an audio drama, I jumped right on it. And it was great because it allowed me to expand scenes, it allowed me to do things that the visual medium couldn't let me do. And it, you know, it also brought in the aspect of the actors ad-libbing and bringing a little more life to the character. I loved it. But I'm a fan of that medium.
Now, Utopiates, you bring that up, and that is something that you guys, this is your latest graphic novel, I understand?
Yes and no. Utopiates was actually our very first project together back in 2006.
Okay.
And we had that published through Bloodfire. And last year, we got our rights back to it, and so we're self-publishing it as a graphic novel. Actually, first we put it up as a webcomic, so you can read almost all of it for free online at the moment. And we've colorized it and cleaned it up because we've learned a lot since then. And the graphic novel should be available at the end of July.
Well, that's super exciting. Of course, we're going to share a link on our website, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com, for anyone who's interested in finding it on Amazon. You can find it there. And so, you know, kind of wrapping up as far as our discussion goes, 01 Publishing, you mentioned how you kind of got started when you wanted to do your own thing, get away from the politics, if you will, of the comic industry. Now that you've had some time to do that, and I know that 01, it started off as glitch work. You know, how do you think it's gone so far? Has it been kind of what you've expected? Have you wanted to kind of branch out a little further?
I think the only real complaint I can have about doing this stuff is, like everything in comics, everything takes longer than you want it to.
Right.
That's about my only complaint. You know, you have your schedule, and then, you know, the printer says, well, you know, we had to redo this, or, you know, something get, you know, it's just, it never goes as fast as you like. It's been an interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
No regrets. Really, my only regret, well, okay, my only one regret is I wish our products had hit the deadline we had set, but I think it was a little ambitious for the time.
Right.
And so far feedback's been very strong, and I'm very anxious to get that first book out there, Utopiates.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance we could send that your way when it's arrived?
Oh, absolutely. You can send it our way, and we'd like to also let our listeners know that we're going to be trying to do a giveaway with you guys in the near future and hopefully get your book into the hands of more people, but always always excited to find out more about groups like yours. Now, if our listeners are interested, how is there a way they can find out more about 01?
Well, you can go to the numerals 01publishing.com. Let's see, as well, there is the titaniumrainaudio.com and utopiatscomic.com. As well, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
The Geek Cave.
And great to have Kat and Josh on the program. And you know what else is also great? Is you guys making gestures at me while I'm trying to talk. No, what else is also great is that in the coming months, we're going to have a couple of copies of Utopiates, a couple of copies of Titanium Rain, all from 01 Publishing to be giving away to you. So be sure to follow us, Facebook.com/Geek Cave. We've got more to come, including damn you all. I wish I was videotaping this because
no, you don't.
All right, we got more to come. Stay tuned. Gaming is next on the Geek Cave.
Are you a man, but you're turned off by monster trucks? Have you ever watched The Bridges of Madison County? Have you forgotten how to scratch yourself? If so, talk to your doctor, because you could be one of the 10 million men suffering in silence from a condition known as menopause. Menopause afflicts men over the age of 40 and is one of the leading causes of depression, the loss of manliness, and the popularity of movies starring Owen Wilson. But there is hope. Girly Man No More. Girly Man No More has been scientifically and clinically proven to increase manliness. Talk to your doctor to see if Girly Man No More is right for you. Girly Man No More should only be used as directed by your physician. Possible side effects include death, sudden loss of limbs, temporary disembowelment, rage, clammy hands, hairy palms, hearing voices, busy signals, extreme attraction to squirrels, and fear of elevators. Girly Man No More is not for men who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. Do not take Girly Man No More if you have hands or if you are currently taking any other medicine. So talk to your doctor and call now for a free trial. Girly Man No More. Also available in a topical cream. But that's just wrong.
The Geek Cave. Brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. Use the Geek Cave as your coupon and get 10% off your order only at Shirtosaurus.com.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And we're having a great time. And once again, Shirtosaurus.com. Digging up clothing from your past. You look rad today. Use the Geek Cave as your podcast. As your podcast. That's right.
Yes. Use us as your only podcast.
Use us
as
your podcast. But use the Geek Cave as your coupon. You'll save 10% off your full order. Gaming!
Yay.
Not a lot happening.
No.
No?
Not a lot happening. San Diego Comic-Con has had a lot of movie announcements, and they've had some good gaming announcements. The things that we're focusing on for today, anyway, at least for me, is, well, if you're a Halo fan, then you probably already have an Xbox 360. But if you absolutely, positively have to get the newest one, they're going to be doing a new Halo 4 bundle. Coming out on Election Day, it's going to have two controllers, the Halo 4 game, and a nifty little custom console. And it's going to cost you, well, we don't know yet, but it's going to be sweet, we assume. So, that is if you're into the 360.
Well, for people who want a 360 and have decided to wait until now to get one.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal.
I'm sure not.
To be honest, I would be interested to see if they'll throw on some Xbox Live. They'll probably at least put a month card in there just so they can get you enticed. The biggest thing coming out of San Diego Comic-Con gaming-wise really is more information on Injustice, Gods Among Us, the next DC Comics fighting game that'll be coming out in spring 2013 for Wii U, PS3 and 360. Nightwing and Cyborg joining the roster. We've got a very popular video on our site, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. 15 minutes of Injustice footage. You can see how the game works. You can watch a few of the fights. This game is coming along really good, guys. It looks really good. If you're a fighting game fan, if you really liked the Mortal Kombat reboot they did in 2011, I believe it was, Mortal Kombat 8, this is made by the same folks. It's got the same fighting engine. Looks great. By the way, if you go to geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com, and if you're looking for a specific topic, whether it's gaming, comics, movies, whatever, we've got a search bar.
Yay.
Find it. It's that simple.
Sadly, you have to search for the search bar.
Yeah.
Search bar hidden by Waldo.
And Carmen Sandiego. Ultima fans should be happy with this news. Either of you played Ultima?
No.
Kind of they're going to be making it a free-to-play online RPG. Which, if you're a big fan of first-person adventure, EA is relaunching it. But, of course, it's going to be funded by microtransactions because nothing from any major games publisher, not just EA, is going to be free in this day and age. But that is coming up, and you'll be forced to use EA's Origin Network. You're going to have the same always-on DRM like everything else. So, yay.
Or you just wait for 30 years.
Yeah.
And it'll be on GOG.com, DRM-free.
Yeah. Good old games. GOG. What he said.
GOG.com. G-O-G.
GOG.com. G-O-G.com. Have you guys heard about the next Rocksteady Batman game?
Why no, Darren? Please inform us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
We're going back to the Silver Age, gentlemen. It's a prequel.
A prequel, you say?
Yeah. That means...
How prequel?
About...
Like, I'm going to be the Batman.
What is that?
I don't know. I was going for young, but it came out...
It came out like Batman from the Hood. You know?
I'm good with that, too.
Okay.
Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a dark nocturnal creature.
Well...
Talk to your father.
If you listen to the Geek Cave long enough, that'll happen, Timmy. But... no, it's going to be taking...
My name's Bruce!
Whatever. It's going to be taking place in, you know, in the Arkham universe, mm-hmm. allegedly, but it's going to be taking place when Batman first forms the Justice League. It's supposed to be a brighter, a lighter-hearted game. Mark Hamill is allegedly not coming back to do Joker just because it kills his throat to do it. So, it'll be interesting to see.
I would love to see Adam West voice Batman for this game.
Oh, I would... I'd buy two copies. one to play and one to have him autograph.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't have too much to talk about in the gaming segment, but the last thing that I've got is the Ouya. This is a new Android-based console. It's been circulated on Kickstarter. Within 8 hours, it met its goal of $1 million. This is a console that will be completely hackable to run on the Android platform. It'll be mostly for indie games, plus it can run emulators, that kind of thing. It's going to be a $100 console. If you donated to the Kickstarter and you donated $100, you'll be receiving a console from these people. And normally whenever someone comes out with a new console with all these grand amounts, it makes me think of the Phantom and other vaporware kind of systems, where promises and then poof. But the Ouya is actually looking plausible, specifically because... someone who used to work it for IGN is kind of heading up the program and heading up the company. So at least it's got a little bit of credibility. But in 8 hours, it met its Kickstarter goal. And then over the next several days, it's raised about $4 million now for this project. So Kickstarter worked for them. I'd like to see what happens. I don't think it'll replace any consoles. Not really. Yeah. If you're a gaming snob who only plays indie games, then it's great for you. But I don't know. It's gonna kind of be a niche market device. What do you guys think?
I agree.
I think they ought to codename it the Macho Man.
Ooh, yeah!
Or the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, no! Android is ready?
I also don't think that I'll be getting it. Even at $100, I'm out of room on my entertainment center, and I...
Yeah, it is a small box, but...
I look at these new consoles that they're coming out, and even talking, you know, about the PS4, the next box.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be one to buy it at launch.
Yeah.
I'm still enjoying the heck out of what I've got.
I'm
except
loving...
for the Wii.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I'm going to be buying a Wii U at launch, is because our Wii is practically a dust magnet at this point.
Mm.
With the exception of the occasional Mario Kart or Smash Brothers bout, there's not a lot going on with it.
That's true.
And Nintendo is being pretty blatant about it. Like, yeah, the Wii's kind of dried up. Deal with it. the only other thing I have gaming related, this is something that happened shortly after our last podcast. Sony... purchased a cloud gaming company for a fairly good price, and IGN put forth the idea that you might already own a PS4, because if Sony moves all their gaming to the cloud and streaming, kind of like with the OnLive service, it just, you have to have basic minimum requirements, which they could easily make for the PS3, be your basic minimum, and you can stream the games now on. This is a good and a bad. Good because no more hardware to buy. Bad because if you don't have high-speed internet, or if your internet is spotty, or if there's something going on where you can't really help it, it's not going to work. It's not going to work out well for you. I have 50 meg per second internet speeds, and on live still gives me trouble. On live does. So I don't know how this, and I don't remember the name, started with a G, Gekai, I believe it is. I don't know how this would work unless Sony were to just completely abandon a fair size of their market share who don't maybe have high-speed internet, or at least a reliable connection.
Maybe it's just me, but I'm still from the school where I don't like to stream things. It's one thing to stream a TV show or something. Okay, I've seen it, not a big deal. But if it's a game, I like to actually physically own a copy of it. It's mine.
Right.
I like, see this? This yeah. is mine.
The rights issue. That's yeah. right. And, you know, a European court recently ruled that you do have the right to resell digital copies of your games.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't, but you do have the right to for...
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction. It helps reaffirm to the console and the game makers that once we buy something, it should be ours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But,
which yeah. is nice.
Because yes. there are some folks on Xbox Live who have bought the original Ninja Turtles arcade game and it has disappeared because the rights ran out, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, that's...
That's a bad time.
Hmm.
We don't need to be living in that kind of
so, time. The Ninja Turtles arcade game was there.
Yeah.
Now it's gone.
I've actually yes. heard reports of that, yes.
Huh.
As in, kind of like what Amazon did with the Kindle, with the Wells books, mm-hmm. you know, where they just decided, all right, here's a refund. We're taking this book back.
Interesting.
You know, so...
You know, if only there was a way that you could give us this information in short little written bites...
You know,
maybe upwards, around 140
characters.
140, 150 characters. Yeah, you know, I don't need a lot, but just something that could get that kind of new. Because I didn't know that. That's the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah, you know, I wish that there was. We do have a Twitter account. Twitter. Yeah, at Geek Cave Podcast. Unfortunately, it's... kind of been suspended for the moment. Sorry.
Are you putting dirty pictures on there again?
Oh, I wish. I wish that was it. No, apparently you have to have a certain follower to follow we ratio. Or following to followers or something like that. And we use a program called TweePi, which allows us to see who's following us and follow them right back instantaneously, automatically. And we can also follow their followers. As a way of spreading... It's Twitter. Twitter's like a virus, you know? One person gets the twit, and then 50 people get the twit. But...
It's like the bird flu.
It's... Very good, Justin. Very good. But, unfortunately, Twitter, in their magnanimous...
Infinite wisdom,
has decided that, unless we either want to be a verified account or we want to just stop following people, you know, we're going to be suspended. So, for the past week, those of you who found us on Twitter have seen no updates whatsoever from our website, from our Facebook page. And this is unacceptable. So, if you want the latest Geek Cave news, we are going to continue to be on Twitter. We won't be following anyone else new, so you'll have to come to us. But if you do follow us, please retweet anything we tweet. Please. Help us out. Help a brother out. Help three crackers out. But we really do encourage you to go to facebook.com/geekcave and don't give me the whole, I don't have Facebook. Yes, you do. You're a liar. Or find us on Tumblr. You can follow us on Tumblr without even having a Tumblr account. It's called an RSS feed. It's a live bookmark. It goes right in your browser. You'll never miss it. Geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. As for Twitter... I believe I speak for Justin and Chad and even our sponsor to a degree, because I've spoken with him about this issue, as far as Shirtosaurus goes. Twitter, you guys can go tweet yourself. And that's pretty much all I have to say on that. You guys have anything else for gaming?
Nope.
All right. That's a good note to end on.
I've been
on.
Playing Pong.
Pikmin. Peace.
Oh, the demo to Quantum Conundrum is on the PSN and Xbox Live. If you like Portal... you might like this. It's from a couple of the creative minds. Plus, it has... who's the actor who played Q in The Next Generation?
That's Kim.
I don't remember his
okay.
name.
Because you say Q, and I think James Bond.
It's got Star Trek's Q and My Little Pony's Discord. as the GLaDOS-type voice of the game. It's very, very similar to Portal, but that doesn't mean it's not great. Demo's pretty good. It's free. Try the demo. You might like it. We'll be right back with the movie segment, and yes, we're going to be videotaping this one. It's Chad's penultimate Batman and Robin review.
Who says there's nothing good on the internet anymore?
Black Friday, we hope that you didn't pepper spray anyone. And if you did, we hope that it wasn't intentional.
Is it better to unintentionally pepper spray somebody?
Maybe your hand slipped, maybe it went off too early, who knows?
Generally when my hand slips, I get slapped.
It's the Geek Cave. Downloading now on iTunes and Podbean.com. Brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. We dig up clothing from your past so you can look rad today.
And welcome back to the Deep Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
All right, it's the movie segment, and that would be Chad's baby. So, Chad, what you got?
Well, it's been kind of a good month for movies.
Yeah, it really has.
I mean, and as we're moving in, we're probably going to have another good month of movies that we're...
So far, July has been all right.
...pulling into. Mm-hmm. So, really... There have been two movies that kind of competed for my attention, and those were Amazing Spider-Man and Brave. And ultimately, I went to see Brave because I didn't have time to see both. But I know that you saw Amazing Spider-Man,
yep,
and you had an excellent review on the Tumblr account.
Thank you.
But I wonder if you would like to elaborate anything you might have missed or otherwise.
Oh, no, I'll definitely go a little bit into it. The Amazing Spider-Man, a lot of...
Was it amazing?
Not quite, but good.
So it was the Spider-Man.
I would say it's the getting there Spider-Man.
I neither like nor dislike this post. It is meh.
I mean,
that should be a button on Facebook.
It should be.
It got a lot of flack for being a reboot 10 years later. I think people don't realize that Sony needs to keep pumping these movies out.
Yeah.
Or else they're writing Marvel a check, basically. And Disney will get your monies. And Disney wants your monies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us want Disney to have the monies.
Mm-hmm.
But for what it was, this was probably... This is my favorite Spider-Man movie. I liked this better than any of the original Sam Raimi trilogy.
Hmm.
And that surprised me. Because going in, I expected to be okay with it. I was really treating this as Ultimate Spider-Man, the movie. But, you know, I gotta say... and you can find the full review, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. Just search for Amazing Spider-Man. It'll pop up. I got to say, though, the cast, pretty much a good cast. I think that Dennis Leary almost steals the freaking movie as George Stacy. I love his personification. Best version of George Stacy I've seen in media. And I really enjoyed it. I can't think of too many bad things to say that either aren't nitpicks or something I haven't already gone over in the review, such as... Andrew Garfield's kind of awkward Peter comes across as Peter with Tourette's. Stuttering is one thing. Everyone stutters when they're shy or nervous. But stuttering and then flailing your head a dozen different directions while you're trying to stutter just makes it look as if you either really have to go to the bathroom or you've lost all motor functions. But, you know...
Don't forget Peekaboo Parker.
Yeah, that's the other problem. He takes his mask off a lot in this movie, mostly because, from what we've heard, the costume is really uncomfortable. And also, they wanted to make sure that the audience knew, yes, that's actually Andrew Garfield in the costume. But this Spider-Man is sleeker. He looks more athletic. He looks more like I would imagine Spider-Man to look like in real life. I always thought Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was not quite bulky, but just a little big for someone who's supposed to be as acrobatic as Spider-Man is.
He's a wolf spider.
Yeah, he was a wolf Spider-Man. But, you know, this Spider-Man, he uses his mouth a lot more. He's a funny Spider-Man. What?
I don't know.
And he's got muzzle flash shooters.
He does have muzzle flash web shooters, which some people are like, oh, come on. But really, there's not... I don't have a problem with it. I had a little bit of an issue with...
Now you got to ask yourself one question.
Did I fire 5 webs or 6?
You know, in all this excitement, I got kind of lost count myself.
Well, you know, he's got a great, great exchange with several of the villains, including the first carjacker that he comes across. Very well done. Very hilarious. I laughed definitely more I laughed about it at this movie about as much as Spider-Man 3, but for different reasons. Spider-Man 3, I laughed because I didn't want to cry. Amazing Spider-Man, I laughed because I was having a good time. And as I said in the review, he takes his mask off a lot, but not nearly as much as in Spider-Man 2, Peter Boo Parker. Peter Parker, Peter Boo, or whatever I said at the time. But I give it a B. It's definitely worth seeing if you're a Spider-Man fan, or if you're just into superhero movies, you could do far worse. I
Green Lantern.
I will admit, I enjoyed this more than Green Lantern. And I really did like Green Lantern. So, yeah, it's a good movie. I give it a B.
Excellent.
All right.
And you did not see it,
no.
Correct? Okay. Something that I think all three of us did see was Brave.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I would say that of the Pixar's movies, of which I think there are 13 of them now, it's not top of my list. This wasn't the most emotionally impactive. However, I would say that Pixar did a princess movie right.
Oh, God, yes.
Where
yes.
It didn't feel like a princess movie.
It was a good movie with a princess in it.
Yes.
If you had a chance to change your fate, would you?
Why do all your accents either sound like John Wayne or Arnold?
I was just trying to do an amalgam of both, and I can't. I can't do it. I can't. I can't.
John
I can't.
Wayne doing an Arnold impression. Arnold doing a John Wayne impression.
Free,
I'll be back, Pilgrim.
Freeze in hell, Batman. It's ice to see you.
But
I'm done.
I'd put it on the middle high end of Pixar's quality. Those are tend to be the ones that I watch the most. My favorite part of the whole thing, honestly, the music. The music of this was the most fitting and the most enjoyable of any that I've seen thus far. And that includes the ones that I really enjoyed prior to Cars and WALL-E and, they had really great music.
Right.
But quite honestly, everything was a step up from like their first four or five, which was the Randy Newman show.
Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Chad sitting here giving us a review,
playing with his beard.
He waits
for
lightning.
It's part of my thinking.
He strokes it once, twice.
Wait, all right, stop. We don't want people coming in halfway into this review going, what the heck?
If you're coming into this podcast halfway, where have you been?
Somebody walks in the room while somebody else is listening.
Okay. Headphones.
Oh.
Anyway.
The characterizations were wonderful. I would say that I did get distracted in this by Merida, the main character, her hair.
It's everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere in a way that Tangled wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was so well done. It actually looked like what red hair looks like.
I wanted to touch it.
and to be fair, Tangled was done pretty well, so that's really saying something.
Tangled was done excellent.
I enjoyed Tangled much more than I expected to.
I did not, but that's a conversation for a different day.
Sure.
In terms of characters, I love the dad.
Oh, yeah.
Fergus.
Oh, yeah, anything with Billy Connolly.
It's generally going to be pretty good.
Even the later seasons of Head of the Class. Google it.
The three kids, I mean, even the suitors in it. They're all over. Really good characters. Pixar shines in being able to build characters that are distinct and memorable in a good way.
I got to say, I'm really happy that the triplets weren't as much a focus of the story because they were a focus of so much promotional material. I was afraid that, oh God, this is going to be Merida and her three siblings. And that's the entire movie. Thankfully, they underplayed it. They did a nice job.
They were comic relief when needed.
Yes.
Did you guys notice that one of them was actually trying to kill people though? You'd have the two of them that have like these little swords or, little things. And then the one with the giant club.
I forgot
ding,
about
ding,
that. I forgot about that.
It's like, what is with that toddler? Oh, dear.
It's like an evil Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But I'd give it an A-. There were a couple things in it that I thought could have been handled a little bit more delicately and a little bit better. But overall, it was a very enjoyable experience. I will probably get it on Blu-ray as soon as pops out.
Oh, yeah.
It won't, like I told my wife, it's not going to make the Christmas list. It's like the Avengers on Blu-ray. It's not going to make the Christmas list because I'm going to get it as soon as it comes. What would you guys say about Brave?
Everything you said.
I gave it a B+, just because usually when I give something an A, it's something everyone absolutely must see. Drop what you're doing and go see it. This would fit that category for most people. There are a few people I can see that probably wouldn't enjoy the movie as much as we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I end up giving it a B+. I think my favorite parts were anything involving the bear, and we're not going to spoil anything for you, but anything involving the bear, and the final climactic scene. Not the final scene of the movie, but the climax.
Right.
Those were my favorite parts, but that and the automated cauldron. Which, again, you have to see the movie. Trust me, it's worth it.
Yeah.
If you've ever spent time on IT.
But you know, I compared this to the other Pixar movies I've seen, and that's why I don't give it an A, is because there are a couple Pixar movies I would rate above it. And, you know, Incredibles and, you know, Toy Story 3 and one or two others, Up being one of them. And that's why it doesn't quite break that glass ceiling, but it comes really close.
But it's definitely not the worst they've ever done.
Oh, no, it's not A Bug's Life.
No.
It's my least favorite, too.
That's too bad.
My wife really enjoys it. One of the things that I really enjoy about going to see Pixar movies like that is I get to see previews of movies that generally I'm not going to see previews of.
Right.
And, well, I guess I should say this first. The little short before the movie.
La Luna.
My favorite.
Yes.
I loved it.
It has become my absolute new favorite Pixar short.
It was great.
But there were two previews ahead of time that struck me, and I really want to see both of them now. One is called Rise of the Guardians. Imagine if the Sandman and the Easter Bunny and Santa, Jack Frost, and the Tooth Fairy were secret agent superheroes.
Yeah, and it's like the Justice League with children's...
They're missing out by not having Dwayne The Rock Johnson voice the Tooth Fairy.
That's possible. Or Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Who is in the sequel. But
I didn't know they made a sequel. Thanks for that.
Oh, they made a sequel with Larry the Cable Guy and the Tooth Fairy too.
I don't want to live anymore.
But first off, Santa is Russian, and it works. You know, he's got the great big prison tattoos on his forearms. One says naughty, and the other says nice.
Oh yeah.
But Hugh Jackman is the voice of the Easter Bunny.
Of course,
and
he is.
So there's one part in the preview where Jack Frost, who's kind of the smarmy, you know, jerk. He says, so we got an old man, a fairy, a dozer, or whatever he calls the Sandman, and a kangaroo. And Hugh Jackman is the only guy who can make this sound tough, walks up to him and says, I'm a bunny. And it's a wonderful moment. I look forward to it. The other movie that I really look forward to, and I'm cautiously optimistic about it because it's got a lot of stunt casting in it, and it's called Hotel Transylvania, basically a vacation resort for monsters, you know, classic monsters, ghosts, zombies.
Vampires,
wolfmen, so on and so forth.
What have you.
But, I mean, it's...
Them too.
Yeah.
It's, who played Paul Blart, Mall Cop?
Kevin James.
Kevin James, Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, David Spade. I mean, it's a 1990s SNL reunion.
It pretty much is.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It looks fun. I'm kind of looking forward to that. So, generally anything that's a little bit off the wall I'm going to enjoy. That's why I really think I'm going to enjoy Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
There was a preview for Wreck-It Ralph as well, and even my wife said, okay, I want
to
see that.
Yeah, I think mine's starting to warm up to it. The first time she saw the trailer, she's like, wasn't really impressed. But every time I see the trailer, I get more and more excited. Yeah.
I'm still being cautiously optimistic about it, but I am willing to give it a shot. Well, definitely.
Zombie doesn't like labels. Good. Bad.
But what it...
Just because you're a bad guy doesn't make you bad guy?
You must love you.
What I enjoy about where that's come from, ultimately, I like John C. Reilly. I mean, he is a great voice actor, and I really look forward to what he's going to do.
He's just a great actor in general.
In general, he is a very good actor. I've enjoyed him in just about everything I've seen, but maybe that's because I've not seen The Ballad of Ricky Bobby and I've not seen Step Brothers.
Well, the thing about John C. Reilly is he can go from a very serious portrayal, as in like in Chicago, mm-hmm. to the absurdly stupid
yeah.
in The Ballad of Ricky Bobby or Step Brothers. And it's night and day, and it's wonderful.
Mm.
Great range.
So, earlier I spoke about how the Avengers is not going to make my Christmas list, but for those who don't have the movies, Darren, yeah. there is a collection coming.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
It's the top movie story on our site right now, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. That'll probably change by the time this airs, but, you know, that's what happens when you pre-record. But, yeah, for about, I think, $150 from Amazon, but the actual retail price is close to $300. You can get a 10-disc Blu-ray set of the Avengers movies that's starting with Iron Man 1 and working up. Sorry, Spider-Man fans. Sorry, X-Men fans. You don't count for this one. It's nope. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it comes in a S.H.I.E.L.D. briefcase with a glowing cosmic cube inside.
Shut up and take my money.
Shut your ass.
Yes.
That's still stupid. You know that,
it
right?
is stupid.
That's still stupid.
Hey, our sponsor liked it.
Our sponsor's a fan of that expression.
He is.
Yeah. He commented on the Facebook page. Chad just facepalmed. Shirtosaurus.com. But yeah, you can find the whole story at geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com or facebook.com/geekcave. Scroll through our news posts. It's there as well. And don't forget, we're going to be doing some giveaways with Shirtosaurus and 01 Publications coming up real soon, so you're going to want to check out our Facebook. And guys, I got to get the video camera out. It's time. It's time. Kent, hit it.
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
Chad, are you ready for this? Justin, are you ready for this?
Justin's body is ready.
His body is ready, but his mind is not.
Well, just yesterday, actually, I watched, for the first time in a long time, I watched Batman and Robin. And I guess we'll get what kind of build into it.
It does need to be eased into.
Well, it's a different experience, because to really analyze it, you have to recognize this is practically the same movie as Batman Forever. I mean, it starts out the same, the credits are the same, the way they introduce the villains is the same. Batman and Robin are effectively the same in Batman and Robin. So you have to kind of really start looking at details to understand what's different about it, what makes it stand out. And in this case, first off, there's a reference to a wider world. In the first, 5 minutes...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want a car. Chicks dig the car. And then Batman says, this is why Superman works alone.
This is the first time
we've really had a reference to a wider world.
When I was a kid, I geeked out over that line.
You know, it works out to me. It kind of makes you want to see George Clooney as Batman with a Superman. Just to know what that would look like.
Well, I think we all know what that would look like.
You know, Batman Forever had the bat nipples too.
That's true.
Only at the end.
Nope. Pretty much through it.
I don't remember the nipples on the original bat suit.
You probably recognize them more because George Clooney was he had a much smaller suit.
Yeah.
Not in terms of size, but in terms of how light it was, and so all the bumps and bulges and so forth really stood out.
Okay.
But here we have two new villains, Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. And something else that I really appreciate, this is really what sets it apart, because no matter how you work, no matter how you feel about these movies, you have to admit that making Alfred sick, making Alfred vulnerable, was a brilliant move. Because this is a point where Batman, the one person that he has ever depended on once his parents died,
right,
he's about to lose that person.
His surrogate father, yeah.
That is a brilliant move in terms of these movies. But you didn't come hearing me wax poetic about this. Mr. Freeze is a brand new villain, and apparently the cops can't deal with it knowing he's a brand new villain. And so as Batman and Robin are riding away on the Bat video phone,
yeah,
which the only problem with it wasn't labeled, the Bat video phone, Commissioner Gordon is like, Batman, there's a new villain. He's doing bad things to the museum. And he goes, and the first things we really hear from that wonderful actor known as Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Iceman cometh. Now, Mr. Freeze, first off, it was a wonderful design for him. He looks like a kind of modern-day knight. Silver, the LED things were a little bit weird. But just listen to how funny this character was. No, don't shoot! My condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy. Then he cocks his freeze ray, which shoots a freeze laser. He cocks it like a shotgun.
Yeah, I remember that.
Every now and then, all of a sudden, with this, freeze ray, you'll hear this. What? What are you loading into that thing, pal?
Ice.
Ice.
Yeah.
You're not sending me to the cooler. Follow that with a hollow sound effect when the guard gets his head hit into a big stone statue.
Right.
You get this wonderful little... Upon Batman jumping into the freeze-mobile, I was hoping you'd drop in. And then as he's being launched, Batman is being launched into outer space. Can you feel it coming? The icy hand of fate. As he's escaping, freeze well. And then you get Butterfly Freeze as Freeze jumps out of the rocket, yeah. And he has the big butterfly wings that extend out, which I think he only had about a 6-foot wingspan. You know that this guy wearing 40 pounds of armor, wearing 200 pounds on his own, he's dropping like a rock. There's no way that this thing is going to work. But it does. Why? Comic book movie.
Yep. It was beautiful.
Stay cool, bird boy. Okay. So, funny Mr. Freeze, and I like Mr. Freeze. He's probably one of the better parts of this movie. And then we get Pamela Isley as she's introduced. She's our new Riddler. And so she's the one who starts out normal and then becomes a villain. And she's trying to create animal-plant crossbreeds because everyone knows that animal and plants should definitely mate. Our love is real.
Yeah, that's... Wow, foreshadowing.
So, we have... She's working on this thing, and her research is being stolen by this guy she's working with, who has decided that he's going to use it to make a super soldier serum. Copyright Marvel.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. And he creates Bane, who hereafter shall be referred to as Hulk Smash.
Copyright Marvel.
Copyright Marvel. But
the Bane.
But that's because that's what he does. Bane.
Well, he also says bomb.
He does over and over again. Bomb, bomb. Every he just repeats the last line anyone ever says. Get the car. Car. Go to the bathroom. Room. You need to take a tinkle. Tinkle. It's comic gold. But we have that. We have Hulk Smash, copyright Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep saying copyright Marvel. Just assume when
it's implied.
It's an implied copyright. So let's get into what I really like about this and what makes it as good as it is. Because it is good. This is a fine movie. It's first off, you have Mr. Freeze, who has to stay in 0 degree weather or below. He can still smoke. That's a lovely, lovely idea and loss of logic. Second, Barbara Wilson, Alfred's niece, and she becomes Batgirl. I think this makes more sense than being Gordon's daughter. Because this now makes it make sense that she will become part of the Bat family.
Yeah.
because
she already lives there.
Now she lives there. She has an inn. She has a connection to it. I'd say this is a good change. It works out for me. I mean, the Batgirl thing, Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, that was actually something that came from the original TV show and was only later put into the comics. So you can't really say either way that it's based in the comics. They could have done anything they wanted with it. The Barbara-Alfred relationship is very well done. And something that I will say I particularly enjoyed, much like the original series when they would show Batman and Robin buckling up when they got into the Batmobile, here Barbara Wilson is actually wearing appropriate protective gear when she's going out to do her illegal motorcycle street racing. And that's nice. That's nice to see that kind of thing. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
That's what makes it good. So Hulk Smash, he gets to be a chauffeur as well as a tank driving Pamela Isley around after she's become Poison Ivy. And something that I think really works, again, Batman and Robin are finally visible to the community. They're finally visible to the community as they're helping to auction off things for charity, which means that now the mystique is gone. Fully deputized, it seems. They get to actually show up in front of people in full costume. You know, they're so well established now that you don't need to be so much afraid of the mystique as now you're just afraid because they'll still beat you up. So this leads, of course, into Poison Ivy kind of seducing Batman and Robin, and we get the introduction of the Bat credit card.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure has no limit.
Of course not.
And it's good forever.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it be? You know, Batman is obviously going to be around
forever. Forever, yeah.
The last movie told us so.
Yeah.
And it also showed them as nicely human, you know, being able to be seduced. So we get crooked villains when the villains are by themselves. The screen is crooked. Wonderful homage to the early movie.
Why is the screen slanted, Batman? Because they're crooked.
Crooked old chum. A nice little touch when Freeze is captured and brought to Arkham Asylum. You see inside one of the supply rooms, and you actually see the Riddler's and Two-Face's outfits.
Yeah.
Hanging in there. Nice continuity thing. We didn't get any continuity between the first movie and the second movie, and even into the third movie.
Not really, no.
The only thing constant? Bad actors and Batman. That was pretty much the only continuity between the first three movies. Finally, we have something that's actually in the show that shows continuity. Well, okay. Also Alfred, who is a very good actor, a very good character. The glue that holds the movies together. Because Lord knows the plots don't. Okay. So, Hulk Smash is awesome. We'll just say that. Bane is an awesome character. Never has to say much. One word things. Bomb, bomb. You know, toilet.
He's a man of action.
Car. He's a man of action. Smashing things. That's what he's good at. That's all Bane has ever been good at. Smash walls, smash floors, smash backs. That's what he's good for. We get Mr. Freeze, who's a wonderfully funny character.
Yeah.
Lots of ice comments and cold. And we actually get a Batman joke. Batman actually tells his own joke in this one. I kind of hope it was ad-libbed.
Yeah.
But it works out after Barbara is Batgirl, and she saves Batman and Robin from Poison Ivy, and she says, I'm Batgirl, and then she right away says who she is. It's Barbara to Batman and Robin, and Robin's like, well, I guess we'll have to kill her. And Batman says, we'll kill her later. We have work to do. It even made your wife laugh. And when was the last time your wife had a good time watching a Batman movie? So, I would like to bring up that in the end, you need to see this movie. This movie is fun. It is silly. It's great. It's got laughably cheesy characters. It's got laughably cheesy Batman, just like the original. It's got Robin from the beginning, just like the original. It's got crooked villains, just like the original. It's got a nonsensical understanding of logic, just like Sierra Games and the original Batman. And I'll leave you with a quote from Joel Schumacher, who, quite honestly, might be the best Batman director we've had so far. He says, and I quote, "Whenever I start to prepare a Batman movie, I always go right to the source. I just get piles and piles of Batman comic books and really get inspired." End quote. This is a man who loves his subject matter, who went out of his way to create the definitive Batman experience on film. See this movie. It's worth every second of it.
Justin, rebuttal. What you doing there?
Texting someone.
Huh? Who?
That's a little unprofessional. We're in the middle of a...
For you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Hello? Mom?
Wait.
Wait. Yes, I just reviewed Batman and Robin. No, I'm doing it for the Geek Cave. I don't do it for enjoyment. Yes, I said it was good. It's funny. I'm not going to apologize to him. I liked the movie. I'm not going to apologize when I'm right. Don't cry. Don't. Stop. Hi, Dad.
And with that, that's another edition of the Geek Cave.
I know.
Yeah.
For Darren, Chad, Mama Savage,
Shirtosaurus.com,
and the incomparable Kent Harris.
What do you mean disownment? It's just a movie.
Remember.
Everyone's a geek for something.
And don't screw with my Batman movies.
Still think they're good, though.